live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. Here it is, another week. Well, it's not really another week. Well, yeah, another week. It's another week. What day is it today? I've lost track. What day is it? Is it Wednesday? Wednesday, July 2nd, one day after Canada Day. Oh, I love Canada Day. You know why I love Canada Day? Because it's about Canada. And Canada's cool, especially in the winter. We really do enjoy doing this program. We really do. And that's the we, you know, like the royal we. You know, when you talk about yourself, you know, we refer to ourselves as we. Well, I'm still having a hard time getting over the loss the Argos had against the Peggers. Yeah, I'm having a real hard time coming to terms with the fact that the Argos lost the football game. I just can't imagine that happening. Oh, it's a lot like Christopher lamenting the fact that BC lost. But, of course, in my case, it was predictable that they would lose to me because I felt that they needed to they had to start from scratch, basically, on defense. And I just didn't realize I guessed that right. In other words, I wasn't right, because I only assumed that they would lose and have a tough time getting things rolling, you know, early, like, you know, maybe a little under 500 football, maybe in the first five games, 2 and 3. It's not looking too promising right now, but I can assure you one thing, there's a guy in the group right now, right here on the program, that will shed some positive light on the Toronto Argos, and of course he has some brilliant news about the team and about fandom and about how fans can participate. You all know him as John Granger. I know him as the guy that has all the info.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Frank. I'm doing pretty good. So, okay, we are over last week. It's a new week. Thank the Lord. There's another week always coming up in the CFL, at least for the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Do you think we have a chance against the Gophers?
I think, you know what, if the Argos don't have motivation, fear, you know, behind them to motivate them, then I don't know.
Damn,
it's
straight.
One of those things, Frank, where I think it's kind of a good for the bonding.
Absolutely. It builds character. Losing builds character.
The last show, yes. In the last show I mentioned, you know, this is what happens, and I every year, and I kind of question people who have been following the CFL. Really, I was generalizing, meaning that in the first 5 weeks, it is really like getting over preseason, okay? Mm. I mean, really, this is where the preseason starts. This would be like the last two games of the NFL preseason. I mean, how many do they have? 5 or 6? I don't know. Some ridiculous number like that. I don't think it's that many.
There's talk that they're thinking of expanding the expansion schedule by a game.
Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Make it 3.
Well, you know, It's because they probably feel that they need it, you know, because they want to have the right product ready on day one. They don't want to go in what we have to do. And you know what? The West Division teams will always dominate, and they always have a history of dominating right off the bat at the get-go, okay? Only because...
Why is that? Oh, okay.
Well, first of all, those players that go out there don't have the distractions like they do in Toronto and in Montreal and Hamilton, too, because it's right beside Toronto. I mean, those guys come over here to kind of enjoy themselves. They basically get settled in faster. They're focused faster. The attention span is just given 100%, I think, in the West. Just because there aren't no distractions out there. And it's a pattern. It happens all the time.
John, also I think to add to what you're saying, they have the money too. Because, you know, even in the cap world, especially in the cap world, where, take for example, Saskatchewan, they have 3 or 4 extra coaches, which helps them get things going a lot quicker than it would be for other teams. You know what I mean? That helps as well, right? So, yeah, they're more prepared than we are.
Yeah. Definitely, and it shows, you know, unless you got a Eastern team that is just all packed. And, you know, Montreal sometimes usually gets a good start or whatever, but it's never been like this where, you know, you guys joked last show the fact that Ottawa's in first place. Isn't that amazing?
Well, they are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of Ottawa, segue.
And that's the reason why I brought you up here first?
Yes. As everybody knows, the Ottawa season opener against Toronto in Ottawa is sold out, and it has been, I think, for a couple weeks now. But and what we were waiting for was some details regarding a, you know, package like a train, a hotel overstay night and whatever, and tickets. That didn't come together. And it looks like there is no train, there is no overnight. But what is happening is that they saved us a block of tickets in section CC. If you go to the 3D Effect Stadium,
kind of like in the end zone.
Kind of on the 15-yard line. You know what? Just to be there is good enough for me. It's on the open side, meaning that the old side, you know, the flat side, it's not with the new roof side, which is okay. I mean, you know, whatever. Just to be there is a great thing. So anyway, there's about 20 to 30 tickets available at very, very good price, $38. I mean, you can't go wrong for a season opener. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Cool.
And, so if anybody is interested, they should call the Toronto Argonauts, Rob Richardson. And then
No relation
to R. Stephen Richardson. And you can reach him, you know, I think the best way to probably get in touch with him is call him
email.
At 416-341-2755. And just let them know you want tickets to go to that game. They're going to probably go fast, so I imagine they will. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you don't want to miss. And I heard that you're going also to the season opener in Hamilton.
Yeah, I think I am.
Well, that should be good, too.
Yeah, I think I am.
A lot of tickets look forward to.
Tickets become available. I've been asked if I want it. And, I'm not getting it for free or nothing, but I've got to pay for it. But, you know, it'll be worth it. First game in Hamilton in a new stadium. You got to go to Winnipeg. I figure I might as well at least make it to Hamilton and check out if all the washrooms and stuff are ready.
Well, I'm gonna go probably in the fourth game.
We got that already. We booked that. The bus, right?
I think that's the fifth game. I'm just going to go the game before we get there. Just to get a little bit familiarized with myself for the Labor Day game.
Oh, you mean outside of the Argos? You mean Hamilton and whomever?
Yeah, Hamilton or whoever. Because the stadium, you know, when the season opener, like Bruce said, it's not going to have the bells and whistles attached. And, you know, if I'm going to go to the stadium, I want to check it out in its glory. And I figure by the day, the game before Labor Day,
it'll be there. It'll be going by Labor Day. We'll be there on Labor Day. We'll take the bus. We'll get hammered. We'll go to the game.
Exactly. So we should have a good time. And, again, looking forward to July 18th in Ottawa. But looking forward to this Saturday. We got a few games
before
that. Oh, me
too.
That.
And don't forget, folks, it's a 3 o'clock start. I assumed it was a 7 o'clock start. It's a 3 p.m. start, folks.
You know, it's Frank, it's a shock because we never get a good time. I mean, they either give us a crappy night on a time slot that doesn't make any sense, and to get midday, well, you know, I'm going to say midday, but 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a weird time.
It's a
weird time for... Yeah, I like it, too. I like it, too. It's
and Shoeless Joe even likes it even more because that means people will get there earlier.
Hello.
Mind you, though, it's Saturday,
oh, yeah.
They're pretty busy. Mind you, though, Saturdays
are
pretty busy to begin with.
It should be good.
It'll be great. The season's well underway, John. It doesn't matter if the team wins or loses. Like you've said many times before, supporting a team comes with supporting them win or lose. As long as you know, my only qualifier is as long as I think they're trying to win, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah,
and I don't think
the
Argos are trying to lose. So I haven't been to the practices after the loss. I was kind of afraid to go to the practices because I'm afraid Scott might have made me run from end zone to end zone. So, you know, because, you know, when he gets mad, you know, get out of the way. Get out of the way because you're going to work real hard. Huh?
He never looks happy. You know,
That's the point. He never looks happy. So don't give him a reason
never.
Not to be happy. My gosh. Now, but you know what? He loves what he does. He's just very intense.
Yeah.
You know, he's a
focused.
Very intense fella. He's a very intense fellow. Okay, let's remember, folks, we've got the Argos going on the road for July 18th. I'm going camping with my family, and the Argo game is part of what I'll be doing, and they'll be doing shopping and stuff, what ladies like to do. And, of course, like I said, I might be going to the Hamilton opener. I hope I can. We'll see. We'll see how things work out. If that ticket still remains available, I will purchase it, and I will go. And, of course, down the road, there is an opportunity for you go to see the Ottawa Red Blacks, as John mentioned. There's a couple of dozen tickets left. Mr. Richardson called me last week to advise me that a ticket was available because I was asking because all the tickets were sold out at Ottawa. So you can't buy a ticket from Ottawa. You got to buy it through the Argos. So even if you're an Ottawa Red Black fan and you, speaking of Rob J. Emery, you can get a ticket from the Argos head office and enjoy the first game between the Toronto Argonauts and the Ottawa Red Blacks in Ottawa right beside the Rideau Canal.
I gotta interrupt you for a little bit. I guarantee you, they won't be selling it to an Ottawa fan. That I'll guarantee you.
Why do you say
this
that?
This is literally right now. It's just a private pitch.
Oh.
It's not public yet. So it goes out to Argo fans, and I mean, you know, you can pull off one of those things. Yeah, I'm an Argo fan, and
but then you're stuck in the group.
Well, that's good, too. That's good, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll see how the real fans
cheer. We've learned a new cheer, folks. It's a new one that John and I are developing. We haven't yet figured it all out yet, but it's what I like to call the pinky cheer.
What?
You know, remember the varsity game? The pinky cheer. You raise your pinky, and you cheer.
Oh.
And you don't cheer loud. You Argos. And you hold up your pinky. Because you don't want to disturb the Argo fans that don't like cheering. Argos.
I've never thought
I'd ever hear anything like that in every show. I'm going to remind people. We were told that we cheer too loud. The Argo fans cheer too loud. When did that happen? And then to have Hamilton Tiger Cat fans hear it in person, that must have been a real, you know, wow.
Frank, you have to give the listeners the visual, though. You have to listen. The oxymoron of all of this, of what happened on that day with this lady and her gentleman friend, is that we're in general admission, okay? What that
everybody is.
Yes, everybody is. And what that means is that she has no grounds for whatever reason that she might be disturbed with her surroundings. Because if you don't like it, you can move to any other place because it's all general admission. And so what happened was is a lady, an Argo fan, we had about five or six rows leading to from the top back, and I guess she was in the fifth row from the top and slightly
beside
over
me.
Maybe by you, Frank, yeah,
right
by in your row, probably about four, five, six people over. from Frank, and all of a sudden she just got up and railed into Frank and Jamie and Christian, the fellows who were in Frank's
directly
row.
Directly beside her, yeah.
Right, and started screaming at them, telling them to sit down. She wants to listen and watch the game.
What did she want to listen to? What was she trying to listen to?
And quiet, and she paid her ticket, and she has a right to listen without us making noise.
So next time we'll bring some cricket noisemakers. We'll imitate crickets.
I don't get that.
I do, John. That's Toronto sports fan. People make fun of Toronto sports fans and say that they sit on their hands and stuff. But apparently they should do like monkey see, monkey do. One sit on their hands, the other one wave their hands, and the other one put their hands over their ears. You know, it's ludicrous. But, you know, whatever.
But
happened. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I blame the Blue Jay experience because they've become so, I don't even know, it's not even, I don't even think you can even say politically correct. I think they're trying to keep people happy who are, you know, we are coming to the baseball game because it is the thing to do. But please, don't interrupt my appreciation of the game on being able to hear the ball cross the plate, because when you do that, I can't enjoy the game.
Oh,
give me
God.
A break. You know what I mean? Like, gosh. But you know what? It is. It's, you know, I think it's Toronticity. I don't know. It's just the way eccentric Toronto fans who think that they're so wonderful and there is nothing better in the world for a team than to have Toronto have their fans show up. We are just that wonderful. Unfortunately, there are humble idiots like me and you who think that, you know, we have to earn our keep, so we have to yell and scream. I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, we owe it to the team, right, to back them up and let them know we're on their side. And more importantly, let the other team know we don't like them, we can't stand them, we're going to make it miserable for them when they're here. We want to remind them they're not at home. And that's what every other sports fan does. So, you know, it's not like we're not inventing anything new here.
No. I mean, Frank, it's many, many years of being disconnected of what a fan should really be like in the stands. And that's really the bottom line here. I've been, you know, a fan for a very long time, and I cringe at the people who have sat around me in the past few years. I mean, I've relocated myself from the exhibition stadium days in the Sky Dome, where I was right behind the Argos bench, 15 rows up, perfect seats. John Candy came over while he was the owner a few times and said hi, and prime location. I could not stand. I mean, there was a few of us around me, perhaps with a couple of Cowboys and stuff, but the rest, nothing. I mean, just emotionally dead. Okay, and God bless them. You know, they just like the visual entertainment, and that's it. But it's just not the way to be a fan. I mean, it's entertainment. Let's get our bucks worth, you know. Let's have some fun. Burn some calories. Put your hands together. Just clap, you know. Clapping will burn some calories. But it's even difficult for people. Show some appreciation if you really appreciate the product and what they're doing for you. Just put your hands together. No one's asking you.
To have to say that stuff, John, is just it's just insane. Let's bring in the rest of the gang that are here.
Sure.
We've got Kelly Bale from Gopherville. Kelly,
hey,
how's
Kelly.
It going, buddy?
There you go.
How you doing?
Good, good, good.
And then
that
big pussy Bruce John Inch is here.
Oshki wee wee.
And I believe we also have our buddy Manasseh. I can't stand anything Canadian. Give him a Dean.
No.
Swaggerville.
Swaggerville. I'm just kidding.
Except
buddy.
Swaggerville.
I'm just pulling your leg. Swaggerville. The Winnipegger. So how's everybody doing tonight? How are you doing, Manasseh? How are things going?
How you guys doing?
That's it. Where's Chris?
What?
Where's Chris? I thought we were going to have 15, 20 people again.
No. You're here. We don't need 15, 20 people.
No, we don't.
There you go. That's confident.
Okay, so who feels good about their team this week?
I do. Oski wee wee, Oski wah wah. Psychats are going to make some Eskimo pies this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Bruce.
That was so funny on Sunday.
No, it wasn't funny. What it was you guys already knew these guys are hurting. Okay, they're hurting.
You know what, though, John? We got two more guys on the one day. We got 12 guys on that thing now.
Oh,
good.
You're in bad shape.
Wow.
I mean, look,
12
Bruce,
guys
don't
blame. Five guys on the 6 day.
I just hope the Tykef fans can handle what's coming to them with all these injuries. I mean,
well,
you know,
we went over last year, man.
Available. The mailbox belonging to...
That's Storm. Tried calling. He wants me to call him, but he doesn't pick up the phone. Sorry, guys.
But, well, we went 0-4 last year, like I said, so...
Yeah, I know it's tough, but it's a little bit tougher. I I don't want to see any team doesn't have their best product on the field. Feel the same, you know. Especially when you know it's different when you're saying that these guys are injured. Oh, what can they do? No, they're starters. They're guys who've made the team, who should be on the field, who will produce what the coaches expect, and what they expect is you know. A team that can compete. Right now, it's tough for the Ticats, and it showed. I mean, the Riders were ready to go. They're a full force. I think it was sometimes those kind of games go a little bit to your head a little bit because they rolled over them. I thought Winnipeg did pretty good against Toronto. I mean, they rolled over in the first quarter. The other quarter was back and forth. The defense kind of woke up a little bit. I think it's going to be a little bit tighter for the Riders this game coming up on Saturday. But Bruce, honestly, I'm not gonna expect the Ticats to beat Edmonton. Edmonton is they're
for real.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah. The defense looked good. I mean, their defense looked really, really good. Shocking. Okay. And that's again, Jones doing it. Jones is, you know, I'm going to say it. He's focused. He gets him focused. But he does tend to be a guy halfway through who screws things up. And we'll just see how that goes. But right now, boy, Bruce, don't expect the win. Don't. I just hope Ticat fans can hang in there.
Oh, I'm expecting
the
win no matter what. But that's just the Ticat.
Well, it doesn't get easier until you get to your new stadium because you get a bye week and then you're at Calgary.
Right.
So you guys looking at 0-3 before you get to their stadium, man. Speaking of that, what's up with the stadium, Bruce? Is it going to be ready or what's going on?
I don't know, man. I still say, it's going to be just your seat and the tooth and maybe a washroom here and there.
You
know what I tell people? It's a football game. It's not a fashion freaking thing, man. You're there to watch football. As long as you got a seat in the field, shut your mouth and watch the game.
To answer Manasseh's question? Manasseh, it's going to be like this. You've heard of the bells and whistles description. Well, in plain Jane, okay, get in the gate, the seat's ready, the bathrooms will be ready. Not all of them, I heard, okay, but they're not going to use porta potties. What's not going to be there is the shops and the stores, the concessions that would give the color to the stadium, right? And you're not going to, like I said, plain Jane. It's like a high school stadium to the core basics. You're walking in, you got your seat, you got your drinks or whatever, bathroom, and watch the game. It's not going to have the fireworks. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have that, but. It just is not going to – like I said, I told Frank earlier, I think we just said it earlier, I want to go probably in the third, fourth game that they're going to have at home. They should have it ready by then. Labor Day game, I think, is really when the season starts, doesn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, pretty much. And the week before that, we play Calgary at home. So come down to that game.
Yeah, planning to. Oh, good. Calgary, eh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm there. I didn't
home
know it
home.
Was going to be – yeah. God told me that. Okay, good to know.
But you know, I can see. But on the other aspect, guys, I'm not your typical Ticat fan. I'm a exuberant, whatever. I'm over the edge. But
no.
A lot of people are complaining about this because they're paying full ticket prices for a stadium that's say 70 to 75% completed. So a lot of people have been phoning in, I've heard, and asking for refunds. You know, I know of two people that have canceled their tickets.
Really?
No.
Just,
what's wow.
that?
No.
Well, just for
really?
The basic fact, you know, we've been promised a lot of shit the last couple
yeah,
of years
but,
here in Hamilton.
Language. But,
a lot of Schmidt.
You know what? That's just insane because when was the last time a Canadian new stadium was built on time? Winnipeg took a whole extra year. They gave up.
Yeah, but
trying
at
to
least
get
Winnipeg had another place they could go play in.
That's,
you know
but
what I'm
that's
saying?
Not the. I get what you're saying, and but that's a testament to the fact that here in Southern Ontario, other than colleges with small stadiums, we don't really have a football fervor like they do everywhere else.
No, I know, but it's just that a lot of fans have been led up to the aspect that this stadium was going to be done, completed on time back in June, at the end of June. And then we were told that, okay, there'll be about a month delay, but it'll still be ready by the end of July. Then they come out at the 1st of July and say, okay, it's going to be a Bill Bone Stadium. So you can't blame a lot of fans for not being disgruntled,
not
believing anything that they say anymore.
There's no blame. I'm not blaming
I've talked
all.
To a couple. I know a couple people
Bruce,
that have talked to actual contractors that work
term,
down there, and they're saying they're having problems with the upper bowl seats because the concrete didn't set right or something. So they have a bit. They have an issue right now, right?
Oh,
and
wow.
I was also told that they cannot put in those seats in the upper bowl, let's reverse that. They cannot put the turf down on the field. I do not know why until they get the seats up in that upper bowl.
It probably has to do with the sheaves that have to do the work. But you know what?
So there's a lot of stories going around. That's
you know what, Bruce, to
that,
finish
buddy.
The thought I was trying to get you, is that it's short-sighted of a fan who's, if you're a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, I mean a real Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, or Hammertown Ticat fan, all the same.
Yeah, but 25% of us are like that.
I understand it. I understand that, Bruce. But the problem is short-term suffering, long-term pain. Because, you know, once they sort this all out, to get the season tickets that they originally had are going to be hard to get again. You know what I mean? Like, are you paying a
that's
seat license fee?
That's where they got
you. Oh, no, but are you paying a seat license fee as well? Like, are you paying that extra, that initial fee? Are they charging you guys that?
I don't know. I pay $800 for my season ticket.
Ask John what's going to happen to us when we go into BMO Field, if that happens. I'm not saying it's going
to
happen.
Well, you're going to have to
we're
pay a concession
or
whatever.
We're going to pay a license. Well, what they'll do is because if it's MLSE buys it, MLSE not only charges you for the ticket, they charge you for the right to have a ticket. Right, John?
Yep.
How much is that, roughly?
$2,000-$3,000?
No, it's not going to go there, but...
I hope
first
not.
Of all,
nobody would pay that to go to an Argo game.
That's what they did with the Leafs. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars in licensing fees, where they get it.
Wow.
Yeah, you know that's what they do that in your neck of the woods, New York. That's what they did. That's the new way they get money.
Yeah.
You know, they nail the people who go to the stadium first. You know, you want to be the first ones here. Cha-ching, you know.
Yep.
Is there anything new with that whole thing with MLSE, or are we still the same?
MLSE and Manessa are the. I gotta say, what they're doing here is this is dirty. This is dirty. They're trying to squeeze Braley, who's put all this money into this team and the CFL, and they're trying to squeeze him just like they squeezed the taxpayers, or what Rogers did. For the taxpayers of Ontario, okay, by taking the Rogers, taking the Dome, all right? This is exactly what they're doing here. What Braley really wants is some sort of how should I say, if I'm going to sell a team and you guys get the benefit from having the stadium, really what I've been holding off for and trying to make some money off if I got it, but I'm giving it over to you, then I expect something. Maybe for 3 years with the Grey Cup, what it brings in a certain percentage. Because without me keeping it around, you guys wouldn't be able to benefit on this big event that I'm just handing over to you again. So they don't want to give him that, all right? And $10 million for the team for them is nothing. I mean, it's just
right.
Nothing. And but it's principle to them. Okay, it's principle. You know why they don't want to give a percentage? Because they know it's going to be too big. It's going to be more than $10 million for what he's selling it for. All right, because these guys will make this thing work. they will advertise the Schmidt out of it. And you will see the difference, what they're going to be able to do with this. Because they keep the Raptors alive. They keep the TFC. TFC, guys, I have to go on this, okay? And I don't mean to carry on this too long. But the TFC was born only because of what MLSC did, all right? That's it. The Blizzard, who were here long time ago, back in the 80s and the early 90s, failed. I mean, we have international sports fans here in Toronto, many of them. As you can see in the World Cup, they were honking and tonking. Their horns are all over the place. They didn't come out to see soccer back then. They didn't bother even to come out to see. They would rather go to their local Portuguese, Italian, Croatian teams that
CSL,
they put together.
The Canadian Soccer League.
And support that.
The
yeah,
National
the
Soccer League.
Exactly, Frank. Thank you.
I did play-by-play for them. I know them well.
Right. So until MLSC took over the soccer image here, it didn't do squat. And see what they did? Advertised the heck out of it, made a passionate core
and tied
group.
And, John, the most important thing they did is they tied the purchase of Leaf tickets to purchasing soccer and basketball.
Well, you know what? They tied it in advertising for
no,
the
I'm
team.
Not saying they did what you're saying as well,
them.
But no, they did do that too. You have to buy TFC tickets if you want a Leaf ticket. Leaf tickets are so treasured that they could blackmail people into doing so many things. Oh yeah, you know we're underserved here.
Well, they
here
indirectly
when it comes to
sell it to you.
Wait,
what
is that,
they do
is that
they
legal?
Indirectly
you
get the.
We don't have laws like you have in the U.S. We don't have antitrust laws.
Wow.
So the league here, that's, you know, I don't want to get into that whole story because we'll have that. But that's why I'm telling you, Manasseh, about it's not about the owners in the U.S. doing something that they've concocted on their own. It's they're allowed to do it, so they do. I mean, who doesn't take advantage of an easy pick, you know? If there were antitrust laws in Canada, we would have a team in Hamilton. If there were antitrust laws, the fact that the NBA would not be able to pass a rule that says a Canadian team only ever a Canadian team can't draft first overall for 5 years. And these are only the tip of the iceberg, Manasseh. It's only the tip of the iceberg. So when MLSE comes here, to get back to what we're talking about, and we're gonna jump away from this because we spend way too much time talking about a purchase of a team that doesn't seem to want to happen anyway. What John and I hope is that with MLSE being a big organization with, as John likes to call, tentacles everywhere, you know, I mean, all the TV shows they make and stuff like that, like we have here, I don't know, you know how you have your morning shows, Manasseh, and everyone out there?
Right.
Breakfast television, yep. You know, whenever the Bills came here, I mean, half of Breakfast Television was promoting the Bills. The announcers have Buffalo Bills jerseys on, that kind of thing. And that's the kind of stuff that, you burn it into people's brain that team is here. And if there's any interest, you know, you get the people who a lot of times – the problem with the Argos, because they don't have enough advertising, is people aren't reminded when they're playing, you know what I mean? But if you have a constant, you know, people who have an intention of going and then don't miss out, if you get everybody, like a colander, right, you get everybody that wants to go, you make sure they know, then, you know, the stadium gets a little more full. And then if it gets more full, people go, hey, this is cool, maybe we'll, you know, check it out and all that kind of stuff. So that's why John and I like the idea of MLSC buying a team. The reason I don't like it is because they don't have a history of winning very much. Now, they're doing pretty good with the Blue Jays right now. That would be Rogers. But, you know, MLSC doesn't have a very good track record for winning. They're doing well with TFC this year. The Raptors made it to the playoffs. So maybe they're not. Maybe this version of MLSC might be a little more successful than previous ones because it's a whole different group. So in fairness to the whole different group of people, you know, Rogers and Bell, maybe they know what they're doing, you know. And that's what's important.
They're playing dirty, though.
Doesn't it get Rogers in the ballgame as far as finally having a stake in the CFL and an incentive to promote the league, right? Isn't that
exactly?
Because
exactly.
Isn't Rogers and Bell, don't they own, like, isn't it like split down the middle?
Yeah,
as far as
yeah.
Media?
They own, well, not down the middle, but oh, you mean the media?
Yeah,
well, they
as
own
far
about
as, like, their control
they,
over
they
the
own
media.
Like 80% of the media. 80% of the media in Canada is tied in somehow with Bell or Rogers.
Dang.
It's got to be about 80%. And I'm just making a judgment based on, you know, like here in Toronto, for example, we have a network called Global, okay? And we have CHCH, which is an independent, another small company. But that's pretty much all they own. You know, they don't own very much. Global has a few stations across. They're a network, but they're not a network. You know, they're kind of like NBC was a few years ago. You know what I mean? The network nobody watched, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of network. And you're looking at ABC and CBS when you talk about,
right.
you know, TSN and
so
you know,
then
Rod.
CTV is affiliated with Bell and TSN, right? Isn't that
how right. it is? Right. And ESPN.
Is that just
and
public
ESPN.
Or
no, they're all privately owned. CBC is the only public network here. Like your would be compared to your TV. Not, we call oh no, we have TVO as well. But you know, like your what's it called there? Channel set WNED. What is it?
PBS.
Yes, PBS. Yeah.
PBS. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
They're government funded, right? But you know what? We in Toronto, there's just too much going on. And the competition is fierce for the attention span of sports fans. Everything sells here, you know.
And right now we're in a limbo. There's no advertisement whatsoever for this season. Zero. I don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't feel it. The sale thing has been prolonged. It should have happened earlier if the CBA strike wasn't going on. And it's just ugly now. And what MLSC wants now is just squeezing Brayley to the point where it's all about principle and not giving him
or a lack of principle, depending how you look at it.
Yeah, it's sad. So you're not going to hear anything soon, and unfortunately, they're not progressing with ticket sales in the front office, because these guys in the front office don't even know if they really have a job. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, there's some good people that already got let go, and that's a shame. Shockers to me in the front office, but it happens. It's a business. It happens, but there's no, I don't know how to explain it to you guys. It's tough. It's tough. Toronto's going to be going through a tough year at the front office. On the field, it's going to be tough in the first half of the season. There's a lot of work to do. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of work to do. And I'm just a fan who's going to stick around, like Bruce would, like Kelly would, like any of the other guys would, with your team, no matter what. So it is what it is. And Saturday is the season opener, so I'm looking forward to that.
In Toronto.
But on some positive news, if I could just add, the Bombers have sold like almost 6,000 new tickets, so they're
absolutely
they're at like 31,000 for tomorrow night's game already. So it's been amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
If only the Argos could have the same kind of impact on Toronto fans.
No, let's not compare that, because being out in Winnipeg, I mean,
That was a joke, John.
I know, but even when you joke, it's like you. Some people out there really kind of wonder in seriousness when you question that, and it's not. And they really
saying,
do because they don't
funny.
Understand it.
But
yeah, they don't understand.
The Argos have done their part on making the Winnipeg Blue Bombers a lot more popular very quickly.
Yeah, yes, they did.
No, I'm serious. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, the Bombers should cut him a check for that one. That was.
Yeah, no
really
kidding.
Huge.
You want to talk
well,
about?
Well, the Argos were to blame for the attendance for the season opener, because they had a nice crowd for the preseason game. I mean, it was pretty full. And
not
for
bad.
the season opener, oh my God! I mean, it was.
Okay, Let's talk about the games coming up, because we only got about a little over an hour and 22 minutes left. I'd like to bring everybody else in, and when we take a short break, we'll come back. We'll start talking about the upcoming games and how we see they will turn out. And well, like I said earlier in the program, on that note, we'll go out with Winnipeg. I'm still depressed over the fact that Winnipeg won. Drew Willie, Aaron Kelly. And Greg,
get over it, because they're going to lose to Calgary next week, too.
Drove a stake in our Argo hearts.
Left hash, Willie with the football. Good protection. Throws to Aaron Kelly in the end zone. And he makes a spectacular catch for the Bomber touchdown.
Feels great. I mean, you always want to contribute to the team. You want to contribute to a win. And to get my first catch as a touchdown is awesome.
He's made some big plays all training camp. I've been able to throw to him and kind of just get a read on the way he runs routes. He's definitely a he's a tough matchup for guys because of him being so tall, and you know he's got really good speed. I think kind of overlooked.
And he's going long for Aaron Kelly, who's got it at center field and brought down at the Argo 50-yard line.
I don't think anyone really expected a lot from us. I mean, we got a new quarterback, new coach, coordinators, first real full season here, so a lot of times it takes a while for that to come together, but we've been working hard, and we were ready for this game.
Offensive line protected well, receivers made plays, and Grigsby ran the ball well, so, and the defense played lights out, and special teams did a good job as well, so, you know, definitely a good organizational win.
Grigsby set behind Willie, four receivers to the right side. Handoff, Grigsby, big hole, 15. He's down to the 10 inside of the 9-yard line. Nick Grigsby has a gain of close to 10 yards.
And nobody thought we were going to come out and play the way we did. Coach O'Shea believed in us. All of our teammates believed in each other. And we just came out humble and quiet. And Toronto is a great team, but we were the better team today.
Snaps it back to Ray. Flags are down. Ray is going to be sacked. Jason Vega got through to sack him back at the 38-yard line.
We went into the game knowing what we're capable of, what we had as far as players on this team and what we are capable of doing. So it really didn't matter whether we had a bunch of inexperienced guys or rookies that are actually playing. We just wanted to come out here and prove that we weren't the team that was here last year and that we're going to move forward.
They were full value for the victory, and they played really well. And you know what? They're selling more tickets in Winnipeg. The Western Division of the Canadian Football League continues to profit. It's getting to the point where, other than Hamilton, I'm hoping Hamilton can at least profit. The Red Blacks right now, they're a new deal, so they're profiting. I think they'll be profiting pretty good this year. We still have the problem of Toronto-Montreal, but other than that, I think it's great that Winnipeg turned their season around. I wish they hadn't done it with us, but they did, and they were full value. Well, Thursday's going to come around, and let's, Mike's worked his way into the room. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yo, what's up, Frank? And also, we got Kim Weaver in, too. I linked her in also.
You put her on your, okay. Hey,
yes,
Kim,
sir.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you? Good, how are you?
Awesome. So things are looking up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Argos are going to win, right?
Definitely.
Okay, let's keep it that way. Also, again, we have Manasseh Gebremedin here. And Manasseh, your Blue Bombers, I hate them already. I'm hating them more every week. John Granger's here as well, as is Bruce John Inch, and, of course, Kelly Bale, and Storm Schmidt. And whenever he leaves, I don't give a Schmidt.
That's right.
Stormy, here it
yes.
is. Your team yep. won their first game. I thought it would take at least four or five before they won their first game. Explain to us why you think they won.
I believe because of their defense and the quarterback.
Okay. Because you guys get a day off this, you get a week off this week.
Yeah, this weekend we can't win or lose. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? As the Ottawa Red Blacks prove, you don't have to win to move up in the standings.
That's right.
Right? And speak of the devil, or the Red Blacks, they'll be playing those Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Manasseh. Do you think Ottawa will have a better game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be a good team. I'm not going to disrespect them and say they'll be bad, but I think Bombers are still going to win probably by two touchdowns. Give it to them.
All right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Campbell was he was the offensive coordinator with Calgary, right? No, was he? Was he the offense or defensive coordinator? Oh, okay. So the reason I'm
asking.
Yeah, so you don't think that maybe, like Jones, Jones worked on the Edmonton defense. He got the Edmonton defense whipped into shape very quickly, game one, man.
You don't think that Campbell can do that with his Ottawa Redblacks?
I mean, he's got a good defense, talent-wise. I mean, he's got some recognizable names like Keith Schulligan, Javon Johnson, T.J. Hill, to name a few, Kevin Frazier from Calgary.
A lot of guys that should know Willie.
You know.
A lot of guys that know Willie, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Well,
know.
You know what I'm going to tell you? That a lot of them guys, man, they really didn't do a lot of homework on Drew Willie. And I'm pretty sure a lot of teams right now are looking at a lot of film on Drew Willie.
They're going to school now. You betcha. You betcha.
Yeah. Manasse, were you on the show Monday?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, when we were talking, when y'all were talking about Winnipeg Monday, and I can't remember who it was. You were talking about he just only had a couple of starts and then Durant's backup. But, like, you and I know from watching Drew Willie in the UFL, we know he's a bona fide winner. Two championships.
I mentioned that on
the Vegas Locos.
I mentioned that on the show.
I mean,
he's won two championships.
Yeah, he's a bona fide winner, man. I mean, he's not no fluke.
No, he knows what he's doing. He has a lot of experience, and he doesn't have trouble threading the needle.
Yeah, there you go.
And Toronto learned very quickly how good a quarterback he is. Okay, let's see. Okay, Storm, you want to pipe in on Ottawa-Winnipeg? Do you think Winnipeg's going to take this one?
No, Ottawa will take it by 10.
And why do you think, you think Ottawa's going to finish first? I keep forgetting.
Yep.
For them
great.
To finish first, they're going to have to win a few games. So this is one of those games you're going to win.
Just Burris over Willie. There you go, playing simple. He's a better quarterback and experienced, and he'll do it.
Can't be any simpler than that. How about you, Kelly? What do you think of this matchup between Ottawa and Winnipeg?
I'm not going to go Storm's route, but at the same time, I think it'll be a heck of a lot closer than Toronto-Winnipeg. I'm saying Winnipeg by 10.
Okay, this is tomorrow night, by the way, folks, on TSN.
Yeah.
8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start. How about you? Do you care about this game, Mr. Inch?
Yeah, I'll go for Ottawa.
Oh, okay, you're going to go for Ottawa. And is it because of Burris? You feel the same way? Burris is the difference?
Well, him, and then you got Siobhan Walker over there.
Okay.
They got a good game. They got a good game going. You watch.
John, Red Blacks, Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Definitely Winnipeg with a mouthful.
Yeah, somebody's got a sandwich.
Nailed it.
There you go. And let's see now. Then Manasse, Winnipeg and Ottawa?
Yeah, I got Winnipeg by 14.
Oh, you did. I did you, yeah. And Mike, were you specific on who would win? You aligning yourself with Winnipeg as the victor?
yeah, Winnipeg by 20.
Oh,
nice.
Big win. All right, now what we have, the BC Lions will be in Montreal. Montreal, of course, slow start this year.
Frank, you forgot about Kim.
Oh, shoot, yeah. I'm looking at phone numbers, man.
Hey, don't swear. It's Schmidt, not shit.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, Kim?
Holy Schmidt.
He can't see her phone number because I dialed her in, so, hey.
Yeah,
because
I go by the phone numbers. My apologies.
I think Winnipeg's going to take it.
Smart girl.
By margin?
I'm going to say around 10. I think it's going to be really close, but Winnipeg's
no more than 10.
Right in the end and get the final. Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well start now with the BC Lions and Montreal Alouettes. The Lions and the Owls are looking to win their first game of the season.
I'm going to say the Alouettes because Lule's still out. Lule's out for 6 games.
And Glenn didn't look so hot. 4 interceptions.
I don't think Glenn's looked hot the past couple of years.
Oh, by the way, I'm taking the Red Blacks too, by the way. Yeah. Okay, how about you, Mike? I was going to forget you now because... Go ahead. Your turn, BC Lions, Montreal Alouettes.
I'm going... Montreal over BC by 17 points.
Wow, that's calling it big.
And Chad Johnson is going to have him a stellar game tomorrow, or the day before, Saturday. Friday, whatever day they're doing.
Yep. Your turn, Manasi.
Yeah, for me and Mike, this is the Christopher Jones Bowl. That's, we've been looking forward to this game for quite some time. But now
yes,
I got Montreal by 14, and I think Chad Johnson's going to have 100 yards receiving and a touchdown.
Yeah, there you go.
John, Montreal, BC.
I'm going to have to go with the hometown boys. I got to go
Owls.
With the hometown boys. I think BC just, Glenn, they're going to have to, they need some time to gel. They're like in the same situation the Argos are in. I think their defense looked a little bit better than the Argos did, but I'm taking BC. I'm sorry, Alouettes. Sorry.
Okay. How about you, Bruce? Are you going with the Cats or the
Montreal.
Owls?
Montreal.
Going with Montreal?
Yep.
Defense, offense, BC not quite, maybe BC's a little overrated. What's
no,
your
I
reason?
Think Montreal's due for a win. They
well,
lost
they both are, but yeah,
games.
You're right. Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Good point. Yes, yes. They definitely are hungry for a victory.
Yeah, especially being at home.
Yes, yes. And they should be tough at home.
Yeah,
Kelly, how do you feel about this matchup?
It's going to be super close. Don't see either team running away with it, but I'm going to give the edge to BC on this one, guys. We had four Western opponents winning last week. Granted, one was against another, but, the East's probably going to only win one game this week and take the Montreal-BC game.
How about you, Schmitty?
Yeah, I agree. I picked BC by 10. I don't think Glenn will have two bad games in a row, so that's why I picked BC. So even though I don't want them to win, but yeah, just
got
to go with what you feel.
There you go. I got the Owls in that one, and I think the East is going to go 3-1 next week. That's the other prediction I'm making. 3-1. I'm going. The East is going 3-1 next week. I just you know what the heck? If I'm gonna blow smoke, I might as well blow big puffs of smoke. Let's move on to the Hamilton Tiger
picking,
Cats.
Who are you picking, Frank?
I just said.
I wasn't listening.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
You got Montreal.
Yeah,
okay.
I got Montreal. I'm saying that the East is going to go 3-1 next week.
I know. I'm just
and,
curious.
I think the only team that's going to lose, that's going to lose is Hamilton.
That's right. Yeah. Hmm. Whatever. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the Hamilton Tiger Cats and Edmonton Eskimos. I just said I'm picking Edmonton over Hamilton. Hamilton's on the road, and a team that's hurting on the road is a lot weaker than a team at home on the road that's hurting. It's really hard to take care of those dinged and banged up bodies on the road as it is maybe at home. I think Edmonton's on a bit of a roll, and it's not going to surprise me if they win. It won't be a thundering victory. But it'll be the reverse of what happened to this team last year all the time. I can't remember a team losing so many close games as they did in a season. And I think finally just a little bit of difference in the team, and they're doing a lot better. How do you feel, Schmidt? Who do you think is going to win, Hamilton or Edmonton?
Well, you know, living in Edmonton and hating Edmonton, but I'm going to have to pick Edmonton by about 24 points.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good one.
Okay. How about you, Kelly? Are you going to make it unanimous?
Oh, boy. Tough road for Hamilton. Got to roll into Regina 1 week and then play the Eskimos the next.
Can it get any worse for the Tiger
Cats? You know, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable, guys.
That's not my sound
just...
effect. I'm blaming that on Manasseh.
That's
no,
not
that
me
was...
this time.
Oh, so then it's Kelly.
All good. Anyways, I'm thinking, you know, a margin of victory is 17 for Edmonton this week, and I'll be happy to see it because Edmonton is kind of my second favorite Western team. So,
well, fair enough. Well, Bruce, it's not looking good in the group for you and your team. What can you say? I know you've mentioned already. You got to be dedicated and support your team.
We're going to go in there just as hungry as Edmonton, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're not happy that we lost last week, especially the team, never mind the fans. We already know we're banged up. They already know they have – every guy on that roster, man, knows that at any given time they're going to be thrown into a number one position. So if you're not ready, get out of the CFL and go somewhere else. So I know they might not have the experience of a guy that's played 20 games or whatever, but we still got heart and determination, and we're coming
right.
in there.
All that matters.
Kick their butts.
And you know, and you know, you have faith in Austin that he makes the right decisions.
Oh, absolutely.
Long term, right?
Yeah.
And I understand that, and I'm behind that. Austin's a brilliant football mind. Wherever he's gone, he's had success. He had it here in Toronto. He had it in Saskatchewan. And we saw it immediately in Hamilton. So you can't count the Tiger Cats out just because of Austin's existence. But then again, there's always somebody that could count Hamilton out, and I know I can count on John for that.
Oh, I told you, I'm giving Hamilton a pass again in this game, and meaning that I'm not even going to judge them. They're not playing with their full team. So Edmonton is going to walk all over them, unfortunately. The home teams are going to win it this week, all of them, I'm hoping.
That's right.
Well,
you said that about
we haven't
you
talked
said that
about
the Bombers not walking over the Argonauts, too, so I'm okay.
Well,
that's
we're
cool.
getting to that
there
one next. Yeah.
There you go.
We're getting to that
there
one
go.
Next.
How about you, Manasse? Ticats, Eskimos.
Oh, I mean, Eskimos are going to win like 45-14. And the one guy we all need to be praying for is Zach Collaros.
Exactly.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, John,
got
you know,
no
you brought it up a couple of weeks ago how you thought he was going to struggle. But I think the guy we all have to watch out for is Jeremiah Masoli. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up being the starting quarterback by the end of the season. So just watch out for
him. No, they're not going to do that.
How can you say that? A guy sacked 10 flipping times, man.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
Supposed to be. It's not just the offensive line, too, man. People have to be in a position that they practice in all week.
Yeah.
If you're not in that position when Collaros throws you the ball, then that's the receiver's fault. Right?
Yep.
You know, there's only so much time you can run around the pocket before you get smashed, too.
Yeah, look at how hard he stood up there. He should have been gone down a few times, and he stood up
you
there
know,
real good.
Unbelievable offensive line. But, you know, I'm not going to use injuries as an excuse, but do a lot. But, you know, like I said, your offensive line, you know your job.
But you know, realistically though, Bruce, this guy's got the keys to the car. You know, he never had the keys to the car. All he did was, you know, somebody said, okay, look, the owner can't drive it, so here, we'll let you drive it. And it's okay if you don't drive it that well. It's not your car. We don't expect you to do much. That's a lot of pressure taken off a person's shoulders. Now he comes to Hamilton. They hand him the keys, and they say, this is your car. Take care of it.
Right.
You know, it's a total different thing. He's got a learning curve to go through. And I think, I trust Austin's judgment that in the long term, this kid's going to be a great quarterback. He reminds me of Darian Durant. He really does. He's a tough guy to take down. You underestimate his ability to throw, and he's a real fighter. You know, that I think is what Austin likes about him. You're going to appreciate him more at this time with the team having a rough time than you will any other time that you have him as a quarterback. That's one thing I really liked about him. It doesn't matter win or lose. He's the same guy. Losing doesn't affect him. Winning doesn't affect him. And that's a great quality for a quarterback because all the weight of the game is on him. You know, it's always on the quarterback, especially in the CFL. So in defense,
you got to factor in is the O-line is just absolute garbage, man. You know, he's just going to struggle against any team that has a strong defensive line. So the only teams Hamilton's going to look great against is Toronto, BC, Ottawa, maybe Montreal on a good day, and that's really it. Because everyone else in the league's got a strong
defensive
line.
That's all that matters,
right?
The Great Cup is our Eastern teams, as long as we beat them.
Right, exactly. I mean, Hamilton's going to dominate the East. That's a guarantee. They're not worried about Toronto and Montreal and Ottawa. Those are cupcakes for them.
We'll see, Manasse.
Getting it wrong,
buddy.
I just want to say something. Collaros will not last the season, plain and simple.
Well, he's going to
keep getting body bagged. You won't.
Yeah,
one
no,
day
well,
he's
that's,
not going to
bother
getting
point.
Back up.
No,
you know,
he's,
but you know
he's
what?
He's going to walk off.
He should
but
be
he
playing high
more...
school football. I mean, he's not a great quarterback. I don't know why you guys say he is.
Well, it's because we saw him play last year, and he was great. I mean, didn't he go into Calgary and have that fourth quarter comeback and win?
I agree with the offensive line.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, they sucked that game, but still, I mean, you still, and the weather conditions suck, but I mean, you know, they're both playing in the same weather, right? So
he
won those
games because he threw for first downs that were less than 15 yards. Did you see him throw long in that Ticat game this past game? It was horrible. Intercepted in the end zone, I think twice. he can't throw deep. That's just the problem with him. He's great in the pocket. He's just not getting the protection right now. I mean, not even enough time to look at the receivers through their route. I mean, that's how fast they're getting to him. And if that's the case, he's got no chance. You got to give the guy a chance. But what I didn't like was the way Austin chewed him out in the sidelines. Scott wouldn't have done that. And I was a little bit shocked by that. You know.
Hey, John, could you imagine him right now after the first week? He made a decision between Winnipeg and Hamilton.
Yeah.
He made a decision between Winnipeg and Hamilton. And that's based only on not that Hamilton's a bad choice, but the circumstances aren't pleasant for him right now, you know. And if he was in Winnipeg right now, the circumstances might be a little more pleasant. But I think Willie's a better quarterback. He showed me he's a better quarterback.
Oh, yeah. No, that was well, he got protection too, but he played the best game so far I've seen him play.
But, John, Willie doesn't waste any time. What I really liked about him and where Kolaros is going to have a problem, Kolaros might think a little more than Willie. Willie doesn't think as much, and I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, he knows where he's going to pass, and he just gets to it. You know, and those passes that he tore us to shreds with, they weren't ones where he was running around for 5-10 seconds in the pocket. He just dropped back, pass. It was so simple.
Flawless.
Football. It was simple. It wasn't complicated.
For, you know, to Storm's point, Storm tried to say how he thinks Zach Kolaros is garbage. This is what Zach Kolaros did to Calgary last year in September. He was 25 of 36, 330 yards, 4 TDs, and no interceptions.
Last year.
But
yeah, but
your
team. That's part of his resume.
So I don't know how you got this idea this kid can't play and he needs
to be
in high
school.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
Sounds like you're a little bitter about
that
he balled out on your team.
I'll be lucky if Hamilton gets 3 wins this season.
So you're bitter.
Well, you know what?
I'm saying that,
you know what?
That away from my perspective, not nobody else's, just my perspective.
Yeah, no. But you know why he would say that, right, Schmidt? Because, you know, he did kind of embarrass your team.
Yeah,
he
well, you know, Schmidt happened.
Kind of, Frank.
Listen, I'm trying to be nice.
You were really nice when you... That's what I just said. You're really nice,
yeah.
To my defense of Kolaros, he's a very good quarterback, man. I mean, you know, he had 70 starts in Toronto. I mean, I ate crow because I said he couldn't take it, man. And he proved me wrong. But
okay, well
we'll talk after
Friday's
okay,
game.
Okay, let's try it a different way. Let's try it a different way with Kolaros. Okay, the Argos finished what 10-3? No, sorry, not 10-3.
Yep.
I'm sorry. 10-8. No, was it 10-8?
10-8.
10-8, right?
10-8.
You know, Ricky Ray was 6-4. So, you know, he was 500 when he was the quarterback. That being Kolaros, you know, and for a young guy with no experience, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but he had a good offensive line than Hamilton has now, though.
Yeah, no, hey, you know what? Everybody makes everybody look better. That's the beauty of the game of football.
Oh, exactly.
You know, you can't pull one guy out and say he's the reason why we're successful. I mean, remember all the conversation, and John, you're the one that, I'm going to nail you on this one. The running back in Saskatchewan gone means their history. Well, they bring another guy in, and Allen don't look too bad to me. You look like he's doing pretty good.
I got to agree with Storm on this. Look, the Argo front line was designed to protect Ricky Ray. Block, 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 block. Even their running backs, block, block. So Zach had that pleasure, okay, of having that front line. He ain't got that. He ain't got, and he's not going to have that for a while. And he's got to adjust.
But I think he's as tough as Riley. You got to grant him that. He takes
a
hit pretty good.
He's tough
as Riley.
He's tough. I just don't like the way, you know, I think he can take the beating on the field. I just don't like the way he's taking the beating on the sidelines from the coach. I mean, tough love is good.
That hurts a lot more, right?
Every coach does that, though. Look at Hufnagel. You think goes to church every day? No.
No, Storm, you're right, but he wouldn't do it. I didn't see him doing it to Tate in his first season with Calgary. You know what I'm saying? The timing is everything. It's his first game. He's not getting the protection, and he blames him on a blown play that he had to run with the ball with. You know, it was just wrong. It was just wrong.
You're good, John. My bad. I'm just going to tell you, Hamilton is going to play much better than what they did last game.
Yeah, and, Edmonton at home.
Believe me.
Mike,
Believe them.
Had a chance, guys, before we run out of time, who hasn't had a chance to discuss the Edmonton-Hamilton game? Kim, did you get a chance?
No, I hate to actually say this. I think it's going to be the Ticats that win it.
Ouch!
Wow.
It's really hard to have it come out of my mouth, you traitor.
Mute her. Yeah,
we should mute her. The Ticats are a good team. And Kim, yeah, that's your choice. And that, you know, we have free will here. Not free willy. Well, we have free will here. So I guess, Mike, you get your chance.
Yeah, I'm going with Edmonton. Only thing I got to say, Fresh Stamps, and then the other guy that I can't think of that guy's name, man. The other
Darius Bowman.
Oh my gosh, they got a 1-2 punch, man. They finally second guy to come in Fresh Stamps.
Like
they get another guy. The rest of the league is in trouble.
Oh yeah,
give Riley something else to throw at.
And speaking of that, I want to ask you guys something. Did y'all see the pass when Darius Bowman caught that touchdown and he put the afterburners on Fort Park?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my gosh, man. He took it to another level, man.
Yeah. Like he had a firecracker up his butt. Ooh. Just boom. Just kicked it.
Yes.
Edmonton was a good team. I got razzed by John all year last year. So, Frank.
I know you did.
When's Edmonton going to do good? I really believe that team was a lot better than they showed. But anyway, Manasseh, did you get a chance to make your decision known? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So now,
all around.
I said Edmonton, whatever. I just think that Edmonton is an up-and-coming team. I think they're going to turn the Western Division upside down. And now with what Winnipeg's doing, that whole Western Division is up for grabs now. I mean, it's just it's going to be an amazing battle. You know, it's going to really be a five-way battle. And it's starting to look that way, at least anyway. Which brings us to the King of the West and the King of the League. You know, the folks from Gopherville, Saskatchewan. They'll be here in Toronto to play the Argonauts, and the Argos are going to spank them silly. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter by how much Toronto wins by. Just the victory alone, the Gophers will be going back home with their tails between their legs. That's the way it's going to go. I'm sorry. And I'm going to say Ray has had a bad game against Winnipeg. I called it a bad day for Ray. I think he's gonna do much better. He's gonna do much, much, much better. But if he doesn't, if the Argos are ready to play, they're gonna get blown out. I see it as the Argos winning or getting blown out. I don't see anything in between. Now going back up the other way, Argos. I'm picking the Argos. I'm picking the Argos to win, and it's gonna be close. It's gonna be a great game, the kind of game that John and I love to cheer at because we'll be busy from quarter to quarter. Very busy. Mike, how do you feel about this game? Sorry, Kim, how do you feel about this game?
I think that says it.
All right. How about you, Manasseh?
How do you feel
about this game? Yeah, I was. We're going back up the other way.
Give me last. I have my head.
What are you and Kim doing anyway? I mean, I'm beginning to wonder.
Oh, no,
completely different countries. Come on.
Right.
Don't do a Manasseh on us, Frank.
Okay, I'm kidding.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, really.
Up. You know what that means. Oh. Come on.
Oh, okay.
stop menacing around. Stop menacing around. Okay. Okay, Kim, your turn, dear.
Obviously, the Argos.
There you go. See,
I'd be banned also if I said a different team.
Well,
we'll have to mute you
at the game.
I would never, no matter what, I always say Argos.
There you go.
Right on, Kim.
And that's the kind
that
of stuff that John Inch is talking about. How about you, Mike? Argos, Riders. Don't worry, I'm not offended.
Green and white.
If you say the Riders, I'm not going to be offended.
Green and white, maybe. Green and white.
Okay. So after the game, we'll have a nice conversation about how you were wrong.
Right.
Manasseh.
All right, look, I love the fact that you, Kim, and John, and Bruce always picking with your heart and you love your team. That's great. But you're going to get your heart broken. I'm sorry. Your team's going to lose by, like, 28 points or more.
Ouch.
It's a guaranteed blowout.
They're not going to lose, and if they do, it won't be by that much.
Oh, it will be. Oh, believe me.
If they do.
Let's all hope that Ray doesn't get hurt. Like, that's a legitimate worry if I'm the Argos. Because that defensive line is coming after
Ray. I'm saying Durant's going to get hurt.
Durant's the most durable quarterback in the CFL, and he's been that for years.
You're going to hear John on TSN saying, what's that saying you say, John, when somebody hits the ground? Pick him up
make
or bury him.
Make him pay. Make him pay. Oh, no, when you can't get him off the ground. All that.
Pick him up or bury him.
Yeah. No, take him home or bury him.
Bury him. Bury him right there.
Take him home or bury him. Get him off the field or bury the guy.
I think Durant is going to suffer a temporary injury. It'll only last about 8 or 10 games. And, he'll be fine after about 10 games.
The easy question then is who in Toronto is going to lay that hit? Who's going to do it?
Shay Emery,
please.
And take him out. Take him out.
He'll do it.
There you go.
Oh, there
How about
we go.
Brown?
Again.
How about Brown? How about Brown? I think Brown will do it.
Okay. There we go.
That's my point. All right. The Riders, man, come on.
You're saying
John,
nobody
knows.
If
the Argos weren't your team, John, and you had to put money down. Honestly, let's say you had a gun to your head and you had to pick. Everybody in here is picking the Riders, right?
Except
honestly,
yeah,
your life was on the line.
Which is great. I'm looking forward to being the underdog and getting some points because it's going to be a tight game. Here's my pick. It's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be it's going to come down to a field goal. I think Swazi Waters is going to have the most points for us in the game. It's going to come down to that where we're not going to get in the end zone a couple of times, but he's going to get us the field goals. At least we'll get some points up. But it's going to be a tight game. Saskatchewan is going to come in here. Look, the way they were talking after that first game, I don't know if you guys heard the interviews, okay? But the way they were talking, the players, after the game, it was like, they were kind of reliving the Grey Cup moment, the ones who were there. The fresh faces were getting that Pride or Ride rush that they, celebrate with. And they're going to come in a little bit...
Cocky.
That's swagger, man. That's what comes with when you're playing a good team and
yes,
you know it.
When you're a seasoned team, but these guys, there are a lot of new faces. And, that's not swagger. It's new. You know how to be swagger and you know how to be cocky. It's cocky is when you're new with a team and you're following the lead of being, chip on your shoulder kind of players, right?
It's
going to come down to reality.
Cocky is when you don't bring it.
Right.
I mean, the cockiness is coming from the secondary, which is the entire secondary is back from last year. Their defensive line, three of the starters on the D-line are back. Weldon Brown, their all-star linebacker, is back. It's only three new starters on defense. And on offense, the whole offensive line is back. Durant's back. You got three out of their starting receivers are back. And we all saw Anthony Allen did his job at running back. There's no weakness on that team. That team is just – that's a tank that's just
it's
ready to run over the boat.
Not a physical Vanessa. Not position-wise weakness. It's going to be a mental one. Okay, that's what – that's what I'm counting on.
Wow,
anyway.
That's all you got to be banking on is pretty much that, right?
I sound repetitious to you, if I haven't mentioned that we're going to have a slow start and I don't see the Argos being the Argos until their fifth, sixth game. So I'm using strategy and picking at it as the best way I can. And there's one at play. There's one at play. They really kind of killed Hamilton, and the way they were talking was like as if they were reliving the championship game. And again, the new guys were picking up the rush of being Rider Nation and cheering for you and all that stuff. Well, they're going to come to Toronto, big city, get caught up in the limelight. Remember, you say old faces, true, but they still like Toronto. Now, when the players come here from, you know, places like Regina, believe me, they like to enjoy the city a little bit. And I'm banking on that. I'm banking on that Toronto.
Well, last year
so
they came to Toronto and they blew the Argos
halfway
up.
Halfway through the season. Not coming after a loss and not coming after playing the same team who they played in the Grey Cup. You know, like I said, I kind of put all the pieces together and go with that. So I'm going with that.
How about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
The organization sucks! Oh, we're too good for the CFL! We want the NFL!
I guess, okay, Mr. Schmidt, your turn. I think we understand where Bruce John Inch stands on that issue.
Like I say before many times, I don't hate the Gophers and don't care for Toronto, but I'll put it two ways. If Ricky Ray gets hurt, Saskatchewan will win. If Ricky Ray is healthy, Toronto will win by six.
I like the way you think.
I was going to give Toronto three, but I'll take six. Very good,
I'll
Storm.
And
Frank, remember what I told you at the beginning of the season? I don't think Ray is still 100%. So
you're right.
Neither is their whole team.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, they suck, you know. Wind.
Well, look at Mo Price. He broke his hand for Calgary Stampeders there the first game.
Yeah.
Fastest guy in the league.
Hey, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. With Calgary, if Jeff Fuller could have a full season without getting carted off or walking to the locker room every time he hits the ground, they have a nice receiving core, man. But just like that guy hits the ground, he goes to the locker room every time, man.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, we've covered all the games. We've covered all the teams. Here's now that we've had 1 week, you know, we've had a chance to see what Glenn looks like in BC. We know what Lule can do in BC. We've seen Willie in Winnipeg. We haven't seen anything really of the Argos. Well, we've seen Harris a little bit. Who do you think has the best 1-2 punch at quarterback? I'm going to start by saying I am really impressed with the odds on the reason why I think Edmonton's going to have a great year this year. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. Even if Riley gets hurt, I think they've got one of the better quarterbacks as a backup in the league, one of the best backups in the league. I really do. Who do you guys think
First of all, just let me give my insight on that.
Go ahead.
I'm going to speak to John's point. One thing I can say to back up the three of you who are cheering for the Argos here is if you look at recent history, Toronto's had their way with Saskatchewan over the last 5 years, both on the road and at home. So that's a factor for me. I'm thinking it's going to be a much closer scoreline than anybody thinks. I'm still going to go with Saskatchewan by 10 based on what we've seen so far this year from the two teams. But, Frank, before we get into quarterbacks, that's just a recycled topic. We talked about that four shows ago. Why don't we talk about defensive backfield units or some other position?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Didn't we talk about this 4 or 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's fine. You want to talk about DBs. If Christopher Jones was here right now, he'd be defending Manasseh's point about the DBs in BC being very weak. A little old, a little slow. And, beside the Argos, who have not really – the defensive back position for the Argos has been questionable at best.
Atrocious.
Totally. And the deep pass has killed them. Their coverage, they can't. It doesn't seem like they try zone. It doesn't work. They try man to man. It doesn't work. So that's one of the biggest problems the Argos have is in the defensive backfield. Let's see that. Who disappeared right now? Oh,
I didn't do any research on this. I was hoping we would talk about who's got the best mascot.
Who does have the best mascot, really?
The cheerleaders.
That cheerleader is old. Who's got the best mascot?
Speaking of mascots.
I love the two dimwits in Winnipeg, the two birds. I don't know what that's about.
The worst one has to be Calgary's with that dog, with that retarded-looking dog they got.
Come on,
you'd
bite your head off, buddy.
Oh, please.
Or Edmonton.
The worst mascot.
Hey,
Manasseh,
you want to hear something funny?
Hold on, who's got – what's Edmonton's? I can't remember Edmonton.
Oh, they have that white. They have like a polar bear, and then they got this weird football looking thing.
That scary freaking football. Oh my, yeah, forehead.
Hey, before you leave the hound, I got this is a story that Manasseh might enjoy. The hound also works the Calgary games, the Calgary hockey team games. He leans over. I forget which coach it was.
Not the same hound.
It's not the same hound.
No, that's Harvey the Hound at the Flames game, and it's Ralph the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they're into dogs. Well, anyway, let me tell you the story anyway. The dog leaned over to give the coach of the hockey team a grief, and the coach pulled the tongue right out of the mascot.
That was great.
Mark Crawford. Oh, yeah, right.
He pulled the tongue right out of his head. The funny. He started beating him with his tongue. Okay, go ahead. Edmonton is a football? Is that what you guys said? Edmonton?
Yeah, what's Montreal got?
Do they have a bird?
Hoopy.
Loopy the
whatever.
Bird.
Loopy the bird.
The CFL's got the worst mascots ever. Like, really.
Jason's not bad.
Oh,
the Ottawa Red Sox.
I like the Tigger. Tigger's good in Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. I've strangled him a couple of times.
He doesn't do anything, though.
They got what's-his-name there doing the Oski Wee-Wee cheer.
Foreskin Pete.
Great.
Well, I hope Bruce didn't
so much
that.
For the family. So much for the family label of the show. Good golly.
To me, it's a gopher in Saskatchewan. That's my opinion.
He's the best.
Oh, that's pathetic, too. Yeah, the gopher. I mean, you know, come on. Get something that you can do something in, move around in. It's good for photo ops, but, you know, like the raptor. You know, the guy's acrobatic. He can do stuff.
Available at the tone. Please.
That's Bruce.
No,
I lost him. He might have intentionally left. But normally he says goodbye.
John, you haven't been watching Gaynor, if that's what you think of him, because he's all over the place. He even comes up into the stands occasionally.
He gets around real well. He's good. I've seen him. I got a picture somewhere with him many years ago. He's not bad. I know can't be the same person inside that costume.
Well, hey, on the subject of mascots, we have a fellow member of the CFL. His name's Frank Kirby. He was a mascot for years.
Yeah.
He was a mascot for years.
For a radio station.
Was it a radio station?
Yeah. Fucking a radio station.
For a radio station. He was a bird, too.
Yeah,
we talked about birds.
Yeah, he was a bird with a Rough Rider jersey on.
Yeah, but he was a mascot for a radio station who cheered for the Riders.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, the radio station was in Nova Scotia.
I like Manasseh's, okay.
Right. That's like during tax time when the guy is out there with the Statue of Liberty suit on and raising the arrow. You know what I'm talking about, right, Manasseh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I feel so bad for those guys, man.
Let me say this about Gaynor, guys. Maybe not the best costume in the world. Maybe needs an update. You know, maybe not the most popular mascot in the CFL. But one thing that I know about Gaynor, and I know this from being a longtime CFL fan, he wrote the book on what CFL mascots do.
Everything that you see Jason doing, Buzz and Boomer doing, this is all from the Gainer handbook of how to be a mascot. And
no,
to,
hold on. I got to tell you, the San Diego chicken is the king when it comes to.
Come on.
The San Diego chicken is worldwide known. I mean, that guy knows how to get a crowd pumped up, and he really took the lead. He was actually the first official kind of known mascot. You guys tell me you don't know who I'm talking about. The San Diego chicken?
I know who he is.
Is that for the Padres or for the Chargers?
Yep.
Well, initially it was for the Padres
the Lions.
And then for everything. I mean, he went around. Mm-hmm. He was hired by different teams to come to...
He went on a
to
tour.
Kind of be a... what do you call it? Ambassador mascot. You know, are you kidding me? That guy knew how to get a crowd going and
Canadian
make people
kid.
Laugh. I mean,
Canadian
that's what it's
kid.
About, right?
Canadian kid.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was Canadian.
Oh,
wow.
See, there you go.
And
yeah,
after
okay.
that, they had chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have chicken wings back then, I don't think. Not as popular, but yeah, that was my favorite. Jason, he's good. I mean, he's good for, you know, the kids and stuff and whatever. I mean, what else, you know, what are you going to have, right? Argonaut, I prefer something maybe warrior type. He is animated warrior type. But somebody who has, I don't know, I kind of like vocal mascots. And they're none of them are vocal, are they?
except Foreskin Pete, right?
That's right. Well, exactly. Except for Foreskin Pete, he's the only one, I suppose. Well, oh wait, what do we have in BC? We got the lion out in BC, right?
The little girl.
That guy with the
no,
drum.
It's not
they got the guy
crazy
banging
George.
That little drum too.
Crazy
George.
George
is their mascot.
George.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy George is another guy that made history.
Right.
Him and that drum.
Kim, what's your favorite mascot?
I just have to go with Jason.
There you go. Good answer. I like
that. I have to stay loyal to my guy.
You can say Frank's your favorite mascot.
Easy.
Okay. Frank will be my... Okay, for an actual person, Frank is.
Yeah.
I think Frank should actually be the Argos mascot.
Right.
With the pink hair and everything.
Oh, God.
And the foreskin.
And the foreskin.
Frank, like, I might just try it one day.
Okay, this is going to turn into a sexual here pretty soon.
No, it's not.
Okay, Frank shows up at a game with showing foreskin, I'm leaving.
Oh. Okay, so we got everybody's
anyways,
fixed it. Great. And we got everybody's favorite mascot. Great. Check.
What about
check.
The defensive backs? Oh, he's gone anyway, so
speaking
it doesn't
of defensive
matter.
Backs. This is what I want to find out. Did any CSL team pick up Brandon McDonald?
No.
I think he went to no, somebody did. The guy who got him. I was reading about it on TSN. Damn, forgot. I think he's in Calgary.
Because I'm going to tell you, the way Cora Parks got burnt against that guy, man, I know a lot when we were talking about it on the site. Everybody was talking about Brandon McDonald, his character issues. There's a lot of you guys don't know who Brandon McDonald is. That guy is a gamer. He's a true defensive back. He was a starter in the NFL for a while. And that guy can play. Wally Buono should have kept him.
Yeah, that's why I'm picking Montreal. That's why I think Chad Johnson is going to have a huge game because BC's defense is, wow. Their
mm-hmm.
secondary is garbage, man.
Yep.
As far as defensive backs are concerned, Edmonton's really cleaned up their act. They look really good. And is it possible that just you get one guy, you bring one guy in, the Argos lose a defensive back, the safety, whatever, and all of a sudden it turns around Edmonton? I mean, how easy is it? Like, you know, there's 43 guys on the team, and sometimes it seems like one or two guys can make a giant-sized difference. What is it with that?
Well,
it's
the defensive line, man. That's how, you know, defensive backs are only as good as their defensive line. the same. It's the same principle of running backs and offensive lines. If your defensive line gets pressure, makes the quarterback make a quick decision, the defensive backs look good. But if they're back there 5 seconds or more, it doesn't matter who it is. They're going to get burned.
Exactly.
That's why Toronto's secondary looked bad. It's not because the guys are necessarily the worst. It's your defensive line did absolutely nothing. And Willie just sat back there. Man, the guy could have did his laundry, folded his clothes, took a nap. There was nothing. He didn't even get touched, I think, the whole game.
Bazinga.
Barbecue some burgers.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-booey.
Yep, that was it.
Frank's doing some research right now. He's trying to get some numbers for us, right, Frank?
Nope.
Nope, he's eating.
I'm having a sandwich.
And one thing I want to say about the Calgary game, when Calgary defensive backs, they did okay from the first beginning because Chad wasn't doing what he was supposed to do as far as coming back to his quarterback. Because if you listen to what's the guy named Lapo, and I think it's Rob Black that was doing the commentating for the game.
Yeah,
they were saying Chad has to learn how to go back to the quarterback. And you see in the second half when Troy Smith was throwing him the ball, he was burning them defensive backs, man. That's where he got open. He learned how to get open. And after
he was getting open,
he did.
Right.
Yep.
This is Troy Smith is just, man, his inaccuracies. The guy couldn't hit the wide side of a barn, man. It was crazy. He was throwing the ball like 10 yards
overconfident.
He couldn't pee in front of a barn being 2 feet away. I couldn't hit the barn.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Wide side of the barn. I like
but you
that.
Know what? That also has to do with pressure too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Calgary's in his face all game. I mean, he was getting – he got –
I mean, I'm not
Calero's
saying that was Calgary's
sack,
best.
But
I'm not saying that was
Calgary
Calgary's best game, but it
out,
was – it was not too bad under the circumstances of the bowl with Levi Mitchell starting and this and that. But, you know, they did all right. Now, did Calgary play better or did Montreal play worse? So, you know.
Storm, you going to the game in against Hamilton?
Here? No.
Yeah.
No.
No?
I only go to 2 games when Calgary comes. That's it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's being
loyal. You don't go
to
Calgary
team.
For a game?
Once in a while, when I get up there, I go, once in a while.
Oh, you probably go to the Labor Day Classic?
Labor Day Classic, and then they're here in Edmonton twice, July 24th and September 5th, I think, the following Friday. So, but, you know, I've been to games. I've been to Saskatchewan Edmonton games, but, you know, I'll watch it on TV, stuff like that. I don't really like paying money for not watching my team. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but to me it does.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay money to go watch my team not play.
No. I'm saying, like if Hamilton and Edmonton are playing, which
well,
I don't like
meant,
those
what
two
meant,
teams,
Storm,
I wouldn't
pay to watch this team get beat.
I wouldn't pay $70 to watch Edmonton and Hamilton play.
See, only when I figured that one out.
We hear you, Storm. We understand. Yeah, it's you'd rather spend it on your own team.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
I'm making a special decision,
and I'm grateful for the opportunity. If it does arrive, we'll see. You know, I'm not going to hold my breath, but if I am able to get my hands on a ticket for the first game in Hamilton, it's going to be a thrill to be there because it will be exciting, regardless of the conditions that they'll be at. And when we talk about,
let's just hope we have a seat.
You know what? This kind of Schmidt happens, you know.
Okay, hold on a second. You guys don't understand. It is, if you've never been to a game that didn't involve either one of your teams and you wore your team's jersey to the game in full gear, it's the best trip. Everybody's tripping out wondering what the hell you're doing there. And then they're wondering who you're going to cheer for. But the best trip
I'm
going to
cheer for the Argos. I'm bringing my cone up and
yelling
Argos.
The best way to screw them all up is you cheer for both teams. And it's like, you know, they're all
the best is when you can do it. Like I was at Soldier Field for a Bears-Packers game wearing a Viking jersey, and there's nothing better than being the rival of both teams there. It was great. Anyways, but that's
only
closer to the NFL.
Yeah. So it's a lot.
That's exactly
lot
what it is. We have a friend of ours, Eric Ransom, and he does this thing where
the way he does it is he has season tickets to both the Tie Cats and the Argos. And if a team beats the Argos, he goes to the Hamilton game with that team's jersey. If the Argos win, he wears the Argos jersey at the game. It's sort of a thing that he does.
Almost a thing that he does like that. He does, but he still always has full Argo gear on. He'll wear the jersey. People are confused, but he's got his other stuff that's got all Argo labels, scarves, and stuff like that.
Yep. His hair.
His hair and stuff. Yeah, speaking of that, I'm hoping he's going to end up coming to Ottawa for the 18th.
Did you get your ticket already?
Anybody else going to Ottawa?
I am.
Yeah, you're going to be camping already up there, right?
Yeah, Schmidt's coming.
Wow. You guys really want to go see your team get curb stomped again? I mean, that's, I don't know, man. You guys are passionate fans, but that'd be depressing.
Manesse, will you ever learn? It just doesn't matter. You remember that movie Meatballs? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You got to go. You know, you got, if you love your team, it just doesn't matter. Okay? So, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go preseason, and I'm going to go every chance I get to go if I can cheer on my double blue, God willing. Inshallah. By the way, that's God willing in Islamic. Anyway, inshallah. You guys want to practice that?
Enchilada?
No. That's what I was going to say, enchilada.
Well, let's not butcher
it,
people.
That's as close as I'm getting.
You're close enough. Frank.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this before I fall asleep.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's aspirin on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules.
Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
Oh, we're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home? I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
The whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Where do we move on from here? Let's see. What can we talk about? What can we talk about?
Quarterback thingies, the first two quarterbacks, best team tandem in the league.
No, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I don't want to talk about that
anymore. What about the fact that the commish got on Sportsnet and he basically had a 20-minute response to all that stuff they were talking about, the Argos, the other day? Just posted on the CFL list page.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's on there. But, yeah, he went on there. It was like a 20-minute thing. He just basically went on there just to rebut everything they said. Because they, you know, they ran their Argos to the ground, talking about 3,500 season ticket holders, which, you know, and all that. But
Yeah, well, the commissioner's an idiot.
Oh, come on, commissioner.
He just happened to...
Just like the NHL, he's an idiot too, Bettman, so whatever.
You cannot call on, man. Collinsman has done a great job since 07. He's turned the whole league around.
No, I don't agree.
When he walked in the CFL, it was a joke. It was like minor league. It's not an article. It's a video, Frank.
Oh, okay.
It'll have a picture of the Argos and just a button you can click play on. So, I mean, what do you? Are all of you guys down on the Commissioner Cohen? You think he's done a bad job? Or
No. I'm not. I'm okay with the Commissioner. I mean, how do you negotiate a league on the brink? It seems it's a tough situation because you know he has to spend most of his time, and he's going to be spending more time in the East. Not maybe be here physically, but they got to figure out a way to make the East a better, better representative of football in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, I think
they're pretty much there, aren't they, Frank? I mean, think about it. You know, Ottawa's got a great ownership group, brand new stadium. Hamilton's got a new stadium coming. They finally got a good team, and now once MLSC buys the Argos, that's it.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they're going to do it anymore. I'm just not sure anymore.
No, they got to do it. They got to do it. I mean, come on, Braley.
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
for real.
You know, if he cares about the CFL, he knows that's the right thing to do. The Argos need to go to MLS.
I'm confused. I hear about how wonderful a guy he is, how Braley is, and he's dumped all this money, you know, down the drain for the sake of saving, you know, the CFL. And then, you know, a real good organization that could help the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL. And it sounds like he's looking for a payday, and it kind of irks me a little bit if that's true. That's the worst thing that I'm hearing out of this. Never mind that there's only 3,500 season ticket holders. All of a sudden, at the last minute, you know, before he leaves, Braley's looking for some money. You know, that doesn't sound good to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but it doesn't sound good to me. And by the way, we've lost a lot of the callers here.
Okay, so who do we all have on the line?
It's just Kim and
I'm
you,
here.
Manasseh. And Storm. That's it. And John left, and I don't even see his number up here. Usually, you can see a number. He didn't say goodbye. I didn't get a message to call him back. Kelly had something to do. So you know.
So Frank, is that all you guys have? Is 3,500 season ticket holders out there?
No, that's not true. It's not true.
Well, so you're just making it funny.
No. That's what
Sportsnet was saying.
Yeah.
Well, I was disappointed in Calgary's first game. They only had 27,000 against Montreal. Nice weather, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it just
Yeah, but 27,000
like
in Toronto
down.
Is a good crowd. 27,000 in Toronto is a good crowd.
I mean, I know John told me last year the Argos only had 7,000 season ticket holders, which is crazy.
Something like that.
I mean, the Red Blacks right now, they got 16,000 season ticket holders, and that's the most in the East. I think Toronto's just behind them with 15,000, and then Montreal
The problem with Ottawa and the way things are going, and I'm just saying just from experience, this quick start that they're having, this you know first without even playing, and you know it's not a good thing. Like I'm concerned because the reality of the team is the team really that good, and if they don't you know meet expectations. Just like the opposite is true in Winnipeg, when the Argos lose to Winnipeg and all the Winnipeg fans go, hey, maybe we got a real good team here, let's go buy tickets. The same is true in reverse if a team is disappointing. And the more the Red Blacks are built up, you know, on theory, and if they don't succeed, the bigger a problem
yeah.
it is, don't you think? Like, you know, like you got to walk before you can crawl. Sorry, you got to crawl before you can walk, and they're running right now. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Great. It's fantastic that they're doing so well. But that also raises the expectations of the fans. And when expectations aren't met, a lot of times teams see a reaction they don't like. You know, the Argos, same thing. You know, they win
but,
a
I mean,
great
you know,
cup.
At the end of the day,
we're less interested.
It's a positive. The fact that they sold out the home opener like a month in advance.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, I think people just want to see football. I think at the end of the day, everybody knows they're not going to be a contender or anything. That's just common sense tells you that, you know. So I think people in Ottawa talking to Stevie Myers, he's just saying he's saying that basically people are excited to just have a team, you know, and have something to watch in the summertime.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They should be able to ride that for a little while rather than, you know, they're going to have a good team. Because then you're missing the
part. But, I mean, they'll be okay in the East because the East, like, the East is just, it's so bad, it's not even funny, man. You got to grade the East on a totally different curve from the Western teams. And I think Ottawa's just as good, if not better, than Toronto right now. And I think they're just as good if they're probably
well,
even with Montreal, so. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm calling it now, Frank. Toronto's missing the playoffs. You can bank that. You guys won't have to worry about going anything in November. It's going to be Hamilton,
it's
Montreal.
It's going to be the Argos and Riders.
What, in the
Argos
Grey Cup?
And Riders
please.
And the Riders will win.
The only way the Argos are going to be in the Grey Cup is if the commissioner and the CFL get involved and they have to pull little strings. That's the only way the Argos are getting through the East.
Yeah, and 16 men on the field, too, to boot.
Hey, Frank, Debbie said caller.
Okay. Debbie, pipe in your number. Give me your number again.
She has it on the thing, Frank.
Oh, she does? Oh, okay.
Yeah, on the chat group.
I got it. Yeah. Da-da-da-da. So,
but you know,
go ahead.
For some reason, I don't know what it is about the sports. It seems like, I don't care what you watch, basketball, football, whatever, it seems like all the East teams are the weakest teams in all the sports. Why is it?
Yeah, basketball,
yeah.
Guaranteed,
yeah.
Except for
that's
Miami.
True. Oh, yeah.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Yep. Even in football, the NFC East is always, it's like an 8-8 team always wins the NFC East every season.
Yeah,
the
NFC West
yep.
last year was just incredible.
Right.
Dominant.
Yeah, it's
you
weird.
Know?
I don't know what's going on. What about in hockey? Isn't the East stronger in hockey or is it the West?
No, it's the other way around. West. The West are the stronger. I think what it might have something to do with is the pressure in the big cities is much higher. You know, the media is much more all over everybody. In the West, you know, everybody's a little more, and it's also, I think, personality-wise as well. In the West, people are far more relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people
that's
in the
true.
East are way uptight. Like, it's like, you know, listen to Giant fans. You think, you know, it's amazing. You know, Giant fans are the funny. I find Giant fans to be the funniest fans in football. They're so loyal.
Try going
turn on their team in a second. They turn on their team in a second. Like
try
Philly.
Going to Philly. Yeah,
exactly.
Philly's got to be the most sports crazy town I've ever seen. Philly and Boston, man, they're insane there. They like live and die with their teams. It's unreal.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And this is part of the point of what we're like. You know. When you consider the interest, it almost seems sometimes like there's more media at an Argo game than there is, you know, fans.
Yeah.
I mean that facetiously, of course. I don't mean that in a serious sense, but you know what I mean. Like, there's more interest.
I remember reading an article from 2012, the Argos home opener, and they had an announced attendance of 22,000. And the guy in the article was like, "Were they counting people in the CN Tower as well? Like, how did they come up with that number?" Because it looked like there was like 20 people at the game, and I don't know.
We had one of those.
Whenever I have
the game against Saskatchewan was like that.
Oh yeah.
We had hardly anybody.
I know when I have people over here, like, you know, I tell people check out the CFL and they turn it on and they're like, you know, the game is all right, but how can they not fill up stadiums that only sit 30,000-40,000 people? And it's like that's like Division III college football down here, you know? Like I said, that's the University of Nevada. Has a 30,000 seat stadium and they can fill that up, you know. So
it's the price of the tickets. You know that those Division III tickets are $10, $12. You know that, right? There is that factor that it's a lot cheaper to go to a Division III than there is to go to the CFL game. No.
Yeah. I mean, the average CFL ticket isn't that expensive. It's like what $45, $50 for the average ticket.
$80.
I mean, unless you're sitting like, you know, 50-yard line front row, it's upper deck is like $45 most places.
I'm usually, when I go to Edmonton against Calgary, it's usually about $65 on the 35-yard line, about 30 rows up.
Yep.
So, is that lower bowl or upper bowl? That's lower bowl, just below the lower bowl.
Yeah, that's still an NFL game.
Not too bad.
If you went to like an NFL game for that same seat, it'd be like $300 or $400, man.
Yeah, but that's the NFL.
Sure would. Yep.
The NFL,
that's like hockey here in Toronto. That's like hockey here in Toronto.
Yeah, I remember when I went to the Vikings playoff game a couple of years ago. The worst seats in the house, nosebleeds, top last row behind the end zone. I mean, the worst seats you can possibly get were like $85, man. And $85
wow.
in the CFL, you're lower bowl, maybe 10 rows up for $85.
For sure, yep.
You know?
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad at all. I just think it's, you know, for Americans, like, they don't understand. Like, for me, like, the crowd matters in football more than any other sport. And, like, it's part of the theater of football is the whole crowd and their involvement in what they do. So when the crowd's not in it or you don't have a lot of people at the game, it just feels incomplete. You know?
Well, the problem here, too, as well, Manasseh, is it's the ethnic thing going on. You know, a large portion of the people in Toronto are immigrants, and football isn't where they immigrated from or emigrated from. Soccer is, hockey even is, you know, tennis, all other sports. But football is an unknown quantity for them. And that's why the CFL is trying as hard as it can here in Southern Ontario to, you know, actually, all the teams. You notice how whenever there's an ethnic guy, they do a lot of stories on him, you know, in the CFL. And that's the reason. It's simply because, you know, the history of the people who are here is not about football, because their history has nothing to do with being here much, you know, for a very long time. So it's hard to sell people on a new game, especially football being a game that, you know, I mean, let's face it. How easy a sport is soccer and tennis, you know? Kick the ball in the net.
I mean, like here in Minnesota, we have tons of immigrants. I'm a family of an immigrant. I know a lot of people.
They love the Vikings.
They love football. It's like when immigrants come to a city, they just adapt to the culture, to whatever city they're in. And like,
yeah, but
you go
we
to
don't,
Toronto, right? You have a bunch of immigrants.
Toronto,
I bet you all of them are Leafs fans. They'll all support the Leafs or the Raptors.
Not necessarily.
Because
the problem here,
you know what I'm saying?
Not
people blend in where they
here.
Are.
No, that's just it, Manasseh. You're thinking American. In Canada, going back to Trudeau, where we basically we'll put it this way. Here in Toronto, you go to a town called Markham. You may have heard of it. It's a place where they were going to put a stadium. The street signs are in Chinese.
What?
See?
That's,
I'm dead serious. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding.
He's 100% serious. It's crazy.
We're different with our immigrants than you are. You
That's
have
crazy,
what they, you have a melting pot. You know, we have a tapestry. That's how it's explained. I'm not kidding. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding. No, I don't wish I was kidding. Why am I saying that? I'm being defensive now. No, we have a different attitude towards immigrants. We allow them, and you know, my family too. We're a family of immigrants. We accept what they like. You know, banks in 9 different languages. The sports that they love, or you know, the government builds like bocce courts, builds cricket place. You know, we're far more. I don't want to use the word tolerant, because that's not really what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is accepting, and we accept change here. Rather than changing the people who come here more than the United States. It's a different thing. So, well, it's just different. It's different, Manasseh.
Yeah. You guys have a totally different country and culture.
Yeah, no. Our culture is about all the cultures. Your culture, you know, the only example I have for you to understand, overwhelmingly, Mexicans and the Latinos have forced Americans to contemplate, you know, or whatever, you know, to contemplate a real understanding of what it's like to be, you know, inundated with immigrants who expect their way to be the way of the country, right? That's as close as it gets for you guys, where, you know, a group that comes in almost demands that you accept the way they are and accept what they believe in, right?
I mean,
you know,
degree,
in Canada,
I think part of it is like everybody knows when they come to America, you're coming to the greatest country on the planet, and it's like
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
second
America's...
Grade.
Well,
second
I mean, come
grade.
On, we all know the deal.
But
I mean, it's because America's got that freedom and that sort
ours
of, like...
Grade.
Like, everybody's got that equal level of respect. So,
and,
like,
and
I don't
football,
know, American culture is...
And there, to make sure that we stay on topic here, what we're trying to... We're talking... Really, what we're talking about here is, why is it in a place like Toronto... football not growing or accepted to a level that you would think it should be, like it is in the United States. Again, I think we've explained, I think it's easier for you to understand that we give people other options than loving football. They can bring what they love
no,
here.
No, I think it's the CFL, Frank, more than that. Like if an NFL team showed up to Toronto,
well, it's not just
everybody,
one thing.
Including the guys from India, would all be hopping on the team, you know?
No, they tried.
Everybody's a
work.
Bandwagon jumper. Whatever everyone
work,
jumps
though.
On, that people follow.
They were here. And,
no, that's
and
the
trust
Bills.
Me.
That's different, Frank. It's not like if Toronto got a team, like their own
team. Oh, their
team.
Own team. Their own team.
Yeah, that's what
maybe,
I mean.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. I'll grant you that because Toronto has a bit of a, you know, I make fun of Saskatchewan fans. Is Kelly back? Oh, no, that's
Debbie.
I thought
Debbie was
that's
on.
That's Debbie.
Debbie's on.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Kim.
Okay, I make fun of Saskatchewan fans because of arrogance, right? Well, the same is true for Toronto sports fans. You know, they're very arrogant in the sense that why do we have to watch something that nobody cares about? You know, but we're major league. You know, and I'm not saying this is an insult to my own peeps. I'm just saying they're so spoiled. We're so spoiled here. We got Major League Baseball. We got the NBA, you know. And people are going, so why should we care about some local Canadian football league? And people put it down that way. I disagree with it. Trust me, I'm not one of those people. And I love the game here. I love the Canadian Football League, and it just doesn't get the kind of chance. And that's why we've gone full circle now. Why here it's not as popular, because it isn't presented as a popular thing. You know, people are, come on, you know that lots of people in this world are sheep, you know. And I think that's the
right,
point you were making about if the NFL came here, right? The sheep would start heading, the sheep would all be going in the same direction. There'd be the odd one to be going, but I like the CFL, get out of my way, I want to go the other way. You know, it is what it is. And it's a hard, we're suffering right now because we don't have an ownership that cares about promoting the team. I don't care what I understand about Braley, and I understand how wonderful a guy he is, and you know. But the fact is, he hasn't done much, or at least he hasn't paid people enough to sell the team. You know, the guys that they have, the men and women they have trying to sell the team, have done a good job considering what they're working with.
Yep.
I wish Mike Ilitch would get into ownership of a CFL team, man, with his Canada ties. I mean, he would be a good owner, man. Seriously.
And who?
Well, Mike, like you said, that could Mike Ilitch. He's the owner of the Detroit Tigers, isn't he?
Oh, Tigers and Red Wings.
And the Red Wings.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I knew he was the Red Wings.
Yep. And actually, he was going to be the owner of the Detroit Pistons. But the reason that deal didn't fall through because he wanted to move them to downtown Detroit. And Harmony Hills was like, no. So they tagged on, the wife of Davidson tagged on another $10 million to the price tag. So he bopped out of it. He's like, I'm done. I'm not about to pay another $10 million extra for this team.
Well, you know, there's deals.
Yep,
and there's, you know, owning a sports franchise is a great way to build a business, especially if it's a successful league. You know, in hockey, and now it's no longer just about owning the team or winning championships. You're building cores of communities around the stadium. You buy the property, and you know that's what teams are doing now. That's every you look at every team; they're all doing the same thing. You know, it's all about it's an investment plan.
Oh, yeah.
We're down to the last 60 seconds for a final comment. I want, Debbie, I want you to take 50 of the last 60 seconds. What have you heard tonight that you want to comment on?
Sorry, I really, excuse me, I really haven't heard a lot. I got here like 15 minutes ago. I've had all the guys buy me beers tonight, so sorry I missed out, but I will tune in on the next show.
Oh, no worries. Okay, let me put it this way to you. I picked the Argos to beat Saskatchewan on Saturday. Comment?
In your dreams. In your dreams, you're all going to be wearing Rider Green after that game.
Oh?
Never.
We'll just incorporate a little black with the blue, that's all.
Why don't we just name St. Patrick's Day after Saskatchewan?
There you go.
Not.
Well, thanks, guys. We're down to the last 5 seconds. Thank you for being on. We had Debbie here, of course, Wormsbecker. We had, of course, Kelly Bale earlier, John Granger earlier, Bruce John Inch earlier. We still have the tandem team of Mike Townsend and Kim Weaver and, of course, Manasseh Gibber-Medin. And I don't give a schmidt if he's here or not, but he's here too.
Thanks, everybody,
for tuning in. We'll see you again. Are there any games on TV on Friday?
Yeah, we got a double header.
I think it's a double header.
Okay, good. No show on Friday because I want to watch football. I don't want to talk about it. So Friday's an off day for everybody.
Okay,
so we'll see you on Monday.
Later on Monday there, Frank.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you, boys and girls.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
Go Bombers.
Bye-bye.
Go Argos.